Welcome to the Informed Pregnancy and Parenting Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Elliot Berlin. Today we are talking about Labor Day surprises with our guests, Daniela Rua, Dave Olson. Dave, do you have a middle name?
Paul.
David Paul Olson and Sarah Wright Olson. All right, Sarah, you had a baby 11 weeks ago and it was a little bit bigger than your first baby, just about 11 pounds.
Yes.
Okay. You decided to have this baby at the hospital. How did it go down?
So, with my son, my water didn't break. I woke up in the morning and I had cramps and then I started feeling contractions. But with my daughter, I had contractions on and off for over maybe 2.5-3 weeks. And they would come on really strong. It would start in the evening. And then by the time I'd be ready to go to bed, I'd be like, this feels like this is really happening. And so I would, you know, talk to my husband. Okay, we have our bags packed. And then I think I texted you like, three times? Yeah, like, well, okay, every other day.
This is it. I'm pretty sure this is it.
And
We're going.
I was like, we'd lay down to go to sleep, and then she would just let me sleep. And I would wake up in the morning, and I was like, oh, okay, I guess this didn't happen. Okay, well, we'll see if it happens today. And so when it actually did happen, I was extremely uncomfortable in this evening and started sitting on a ball and was just kind of like, not sure. I was watching TV and I was, you know, just trying to figure out, like, is this happening? Is it not happening? Laid down to go to bed and thought for sure I was going to wake up in the morning again. And I woke up at like 12:30 in the middle of the night. And I felt the contractions were pretty strong. And so I woke up my husband and he was like, oh, well, you remember what the midwife told us last time, like, go have a glass of wine and just try to go back to bed. And I was like, well, okay. this actually feels pretty, you know, like this is really going to happen. So I went into the kitchen. I opened a bottle of wine. It was pretty expensive. I was excited about that. And I got hungry, so I made grilled cheese. And drank my glass of wine and timed them for over 2 hours. And they were actually really close together. And looking back, you know, I probably could have gone in early and, you know, been probably a little bit along, like maybe 4 centimeters along. But I think at that point they were about 3 minutes apart and they were lasting for almost a minute. And so...
So now we're more like 2:30 in the morning?
This was like 2:30, but it was from 12:30 until 2:30. It was consistent.
Yeah.
It was about 3 minutes apart. And then, so I got kind of tired after all the grilled cheese and the wine. So I went and I laid down. And when I laid down, I slept for maybe 30 minutes and then it ramped up again. And so I got out of bed and I decided to get in the bath. And, you know, I had thought a lot about with my first pregnancy, my first birth with Wyatt. I had a 17-hour of active labor, but probably like 30 hours of, you know, being in labor. And so having like the pre-labor or whatever that's called.
Prodromal.
Yes. And so, you know, I was thinking about it a lot beforehand and I thought, you know, I really love to have like an 8-hour labor. And with my son, you know, he was almost 10 pounds. I pushed for 4 hours with him and it was really hard. I did not have the same experience as you, Danny. Like pushing down my babies takes everything inside of me to get them down. I mean, I pull from the depths of my soul to push. And it's like, I feel like I'm pushing them with, you know, like I'm almost out of gas and I'm just trying to push harder. So with him, I was pushing for 4 hours and I was like, love it if I could push for like 15 minutes. But by the way, just, you know, the, just the strength of mind and body that you have, and Dave's going to totally roll his eyes at this, so I'm sorry, babe.
What I think is it's just incredible that you ladies do this, and me, as a husband, doesn't like to see you guys in pain. Mm. So that's why I don't like to see it, hear about it, or know that you had to go through it.
Right.
Yeah, but that's fair enough.
I'm gonna.
That disarms
Sarah, you can
me.
Continue
that
on.
Really
that disarms
good,
me.
That was really good.
So anyway, I had sort of envisioned this birth, and I talked about it in our last podcast of sort of, you know, what I was hoping for, and then I had this bit. I'm gonna just rewind a second to before I went into labor. I'd had a few weeks actually of feeling a bit of fear, and I was kind of keeping it to myself, but just like, okay, this baby's gonna be bigger, and like, you know, I really want to have a natural birth, and you know, an unmedicated natural birth, and I was having a baby in a hospital instead of at home, so things were different, and there was just some fear that started to creep in. And I was also, I had just lost my dad, so I was feeling like a lot of emotional, you know, hormones were up and down and, you know, all over the place. And so I was like, am I not going to be able to do this? Is something going to stop me from doing this? And I was just kind of worried about it a little bit. And so I started reading Spiritual Midwifery again. Mm-hmm. And that book really put me back into the place that I needed to be mentally, because it was, these women were telling their stories, and they were all so different, and it was really funny because they had this language that they use where they're like, it was so psychedelic, you know, and like they were talking about making out with their partners and like, you know, just like rubbing each other's bodies, and everything was just like big and wild and just such a ride. And so I was like, yes, that is what I want. This is what I need. That's the language I need in my head, which is funny because I was totally riding a psychedelic wave and was saying things like, it's so big.
Oh my God. Can I just say, I walked into your birth, you were at Cedars, and from the front little nurse's desk where I have to get my little badge and get in, I could hear you, and there's like 30 rooms there where people are laboring. I could hear you, and then you sound like you're doing okay, just intense. Mm-hmm. And I walked in, and you were kind of leaning up against Eric, almost like he was a stripper pole, and you're kind of riding up and down, and you were just screaming, "Eric, it's so big!" And I just thought, I thought I should just leave. I should just go home. I'm not needed here.
Which is so awesome. But, you know, it was this thing where I had decided to choose, like, joy and love and positivity. And I really wanted to take that and put it into my body. And that's what I wanted to feel when I was in labor. Because I had been through it before. And so this time around, I wanted to ride the waves with, like, a lot of positivity and laughter and just see where that, you know, how far could that take me? And, you know, what is it? It's mind over matter. Like they say, you know, a lot of stuff is, you know, where are you going in your head? And so if I could bring that, you know, to this. So that is what started happening, is I woke up after that 30-minute nap, and I got in the tub, and I'm looking out. All the lights are off, and there's, like, a candle on, and I'm looking out over the water, and, you know, the moon is so bright, and I'm riding these waves in the bath, and I'm so happy and excited, and I'm realizing, like, I'm going to meet my baby. And then I get out of there because I'm kind of cold. I get in the shower, and then I get out. I start, you know, having these contractions in front of my, in my bathroom sink, and my husband jumps out of bed, and he hears me because I guess I'm getting louder at this point. And I had been texting with my doula, and she was like, you know, let's time these. It sounds like things are progressing. Maybe you should think about getting to the hospital. And So I was timing them, and they were 2 minutes apart, and they were lasting for about a minute and 30 seconds, which is major at this point. It's like, oh, I should have already been in the car on the way to the hospital.
And you're not that close to the hospital either.
No, I wasn't. I was not close to the hospital. But it's still mentally I was thinking, okay, like if Eric's not awake by 6 o'clock, I'm going to wake him up, and we'll start heading because the traffic will start to build if we don't go that direction. And so he had jumped up. It's like 5 a.m. And he goes, oh, okay, it sounds like this is moving along. Should I start the bath? And I was like, well, I already did the bath. And he goes, well, do you want to jump in the shower? And I was like, I already did the shower. And he was like, okay, well, what do you want to do? And I was
already
like,
had breakfast.
I think I want to go into the hospital now. Grab your stuff. And he was like, oh, okay. And I'm having a totally normal conversation with him, and so he's like, nah, she's fine. She's like 2 centimeters along, like, okay. He goes and leaves back down. And I was like, hey, like, let's go, you know, like, get up, do what you need to do. And he goes,
but explain why, because the first time you weren't talkative.
The first time I wasn't talkative when I was, you know, further along, and I was in a totally different headspace at that point. Like, I became very internalized, but, you know, It was just very different. I couldn't speak. I was just moaning the first time around. So this time I'm telling him, okay, let's go. We had planned on having our son at the birth, and it was something that we had prepped him for. We had been showing him birth videos, and he was 3 years old, and so he was so excited to go and to see it. And so I asked, we had a friend staying with us, and I asked her to, you know, bring him to the hospital after he woke up and had breakfast. And Eric was like, should we go to a hotel or something, like, first so you can labor by the hospital? And I was like, no, we're going to the hospital. He, like, still is in denial. He does not believe that I'm, you know, ready to have this baby. He thinks it's, you know,
it's going to be a while.
So I'm texting Dr. B, and I'm like, okay, this is happening. This is what's happening. Like, I'm heading to Cedars. And on the drive, it was like I told myself, okay, now we're going to the hospital. And my body goes, cool, we're going to amp this up a lot more.
Wow.
My body switched gears, and all of a sudden my contractions were coming, like, just insanely intense. And Eric has my mix on that we had put together. So it's all this music, and I'm just singing the songs. I'm smiling. I'm, like, so into it. But I'm also having major contractions, holding on. I can't sit down. I had to hold on to the, you know, the headrest and, like, kneel in the front seat of the car. And he starts filming me, and he's like, oh, we're going to the hospital.
I saw this video, right?
Wyatt, look, mommy's doing so good.
Sarah's like,
yeah, and he was, like, asking me questions. I can't even remember what he was saying. But the video, we watched it later, and I was like, oh, this is hilarious. Like, he really did not believe it. And then he parks in a parking lot they told him to park in, which was, like, a block away from the hospital. And so we are walking to the hospital. We get in there. We get upstairs. It's a long journey. And then the lady at the front desk, she sees me, and she goes, okay, hold on. And then she calls someone, and she's like, we have a mom who just walked in. She's really far along. She goes, are you a second-time mom? And I was like, yeah. And she goes, okay, she's a second-time mom. She's like, we need to get a room right away. And I hadn't even said anything. I was just walking in and, you know, moaning, doing my thing, whatever it was. And then they take me back, they check me, and I'm 8 centimeters at this point.
Wow.
And so they call my doctor, this other doctor comes in, and, you know, they're worried I'm going to give birth right away. The nurse that had checked me, she was like, you know, at this point, I feel like, you know, your body's going to open up, and then you're just going to be able to push this baby out. And I was like, oh, that's very encouraging to hear, you know. I was like, okay, this is exciting. I'm 8 centimeters, ready to go. And my doctor comes in. I'm still riding the waves. I'm laughing. Like, just how crazy it is that our bodies can do this. I'm singing these songs. My husband is sort of following me around and trying to help me. And I'm holding on to him. I'm kissing him. You know, just everything that I had planned on wanting to do, was able to do it. And it was such a joyful experience. And then my doctor comes in, and he checks me, and he goes, it's going to take a little bit to get the baby down. he goes, so, you know, I'm going to, if you want to take a shower or something. And at that point, I was like, whoa, okay. All right, so maybe it's going to be a little bit more than I anticipated. Then my body switches gears again, and it amps up even more. And this is where you come in, because it took me to another place. This is where I started having, like, the out-of-body experience. And Dr. B comes in, and I'm, like, not even in my head at this point. All I'm thinking, all I can think of is that I want to grab onto a pull-up bar and hold on to it and just hang. Like, for some reason, I wanted my body to stretch out. Yeah, or something. So anyway, we try a few different things. Dr. B then starts working on, what were you doing exactly?
I was opening your hips, like your hip flexors and your pelvis, just making space for this larger than I thought baby to come down.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, is when you started doing that, it felt actually extremely productive. So, and before that, it just felt bigger than me. Like, it was, I keep trying to explain this to my other girlfriend who is, she wants to hear this, you know, different birth stories. And she was like, at any point, did you feel like you couldn't do it? And I was like, no, I never felt like I couldn't do it. I just felt like it was larger than me at this point. And that, I didn't really feel like that with my first child. But it got so big that it was almost, it would have been overwhelming if I would have started thinking about it in my head. But I was just like letting it go and just letting it be what it was, which was massive, a massive thing to be pushing her down.
Yeah.
And at one point, I was on the edge of the bed, and I was pushing, and I reached around to grab under the bed and start pushing down. And what I didn't know was that I had reached around and grabbed my doctor's ass. And I was pulling up on his butt underneath me and pushing down to get the baby down. And so he tells me that story the next morning. I didn't even know that that happened.
Wait, he let you just continue to grab his ass?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. And actually, for some of that, you were pushing down on my head.
Yes.
That is no joke. So you're pushing down on my head with one hand, grabbing around his...
Anyone who came into my wake got
became a part of your
grabbed
apparatus.
Onto. Yeah, yeah, like I am not one of those people that is like, oh, I need to go off and birth on my own. I'm like, bring it on. Come over here, and I'm going to use you in some way.
Right before that happened, Wyatt came in.
Yes.
And that was kind of an amazing moment.
So it was that.
You and Wyatt came in.
It was that moment where it was so overpowering at that point. But Wyatt came in, and he was like, Mama! And I turned and saw him, and I was so happy to see
him.
Doesn't
it help?
It totally helped.
I never
thought
it would.
When you said that, yeah, exactly. When you said that, I was like, whoa. Because
you could see you change.
It did.
Because it was starting, like you said, to get bigger than you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he actually came in the middle of a contraction, and you were kind of vocal, and... There's all this doctors and medical stuff. He knew Dr. J, which I think was helpful for him. But there was one look of, I thought, a look of panic on his face for like a second. Like, what's going on here? And you were making all that noise. And the second it was over, you saw him, and you had that big, warm heart, and you just looked at him with a big smile and hug. And he totally let go. Not an ounce of fear from that point forward. He was just like... a commentator at a ball game calling the shots.
Totally. I mean, he spent the rest of the birth like being like, good work, Mama. Esme's coming. I get to meet my sister. You know, and he's just like cheering me on. And I came over and held his hand for part of it. And, you know, he was just like, good work, Mama. And Eric was like yelling at him, she's doing so great, you know, and... It was just like this cheering crowd, really, for that whole last hour, right?
Yeah, because then you just got into crazy positions that I certainly could never dream of getting to, but also haven't really seen before. I mean, you were literally at the end of the hospital, leaning off of it so far down, and it just seemed instinctual. You were just going.
Why? Because it felt so good to have my legs on the bed and have my bottom lower than the bed, like pushing my body down, and you know, whatever that difference was of like being up higher and then pushing down as low as I could with my body, almost falling off of the bed. I mean, people were holding, you were holding
me
up.
We kept pushing you back up on the bed.
Yeah, you were holding me up on the bed. That felt the most productive, and I could actually feel her moving. But I thought, you know, it only took me 30 minutes to push her out, and with my son, 4 hours. So I thought for sure she was still way up there. I mean, there was a point where then I had a kind of a nervous nurse, and she was, I'm not even really sure what she was asking Dr. Goldberg, but she wanted me in a different position because the baby's heart rate was dropping.
Yeah.
And I didn't really understand what she was saying. And I thought that when I saw her face, I was like, oh, she doesn't think I can do this. And so for a split second, I was looking straight forward at the wall and I was like, wait a minute, am I going to get wheeled into have a C-section right now? And I didn't even know that my baby's head was already crowning. Mm-hmm. So I looked at my doctor and he was so awesome the whole time and so calm. And he was like, you're doing great. It's going to be fine. Yeah. It's great. You're fine. Yeah. And I was like, okay.
He had a tough job sort of balancing her nervousness with reassuring and like not dismissing her concerns with also being able to really powerfully reassure you. Because after you had that exchange, I saw you just go right back internal someplace and just even more determined, like, I got this.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when I looked at him, though, he was like, he could not have been more confident that I could do this. And so then I was like, okay, I'm just going to ignore her and listen to him. And by the way, she wasn't doing anything wrong. Like, she was worried about the baby's heart rate. And it was just that I didn't really know what was going on. So it just felt, I just felt nervous energy. And, you know, when you're in labor, any energy outside of, like, what it is that's happening, it does alter things. So I just had to, like, get rid of it. But then they ended up turning me over. And then I had no idea I was about to push her out. And they told me that her head was out, and it was the shoulders that they were worried about because she was big.
Because Wyatt got stuck. Wyatt's
shoulders had got stuck. And there was a bunch of people in the room. I didn't know that they were in there, but it was the same thing with Cedars where they had, like, a lot of pediatricians in there.
Well, I guess you got flagged for dystocia, right? Where the shoulder gets stuck on the pubic bone.
Yeah.
So once it happens, like, they assume it's going to happen again, or at least set up for what if it happens again, the baby gets stuck and can't come out.
Right.
So that's why you get extra pediatric helpers.
Right. Okay. So.
And that's also why he flipped you over onto your back. I mean, normally he doesn't care what position you deliver in, but should there have been a dystocia, he would need better access to help.
You could actually see him too, like, you know, when I rewatched the video of him negotiating the shoulders and, like, kind of helping the baby.
Yeah, but it was very smooth.
It was so smooth. And then, you know, I hear Eric turn around and say, baby, the shoulders are out. And then he was like, you're about to meet your sister. And then Wyatt was like, Esme's coming.
Yeah.
You know, and then.
That's a great moment.
He said, reach down. And I reached down and she wasn't out yet. I reached down and then did one more big push and pulled her out of me. And she was 3 months old.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, Sierra is the weight now at 7 weeks. She's the same weight as Esme was at birth.
At birth.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
Basically.
It was almost like we once got this little mattress from Amazon, but it was for a twin bed. And, you know, it came in this little box, and I thought, I think we ordered the wrong size mattress. It was like this big. And then you have instructions on how to open it, and it just, as soon as you open it, just it kind of expands. Like Esme. That's
Esme was a sponge. Came out and then just expanded.
Dino expansion. Beautiful and sweet. But now it's interesting. A few things. Number one, both of you had experiences where most practitioners today would have done C-sections for you, right? If your baby measures, and it's not really an accurate measurement, if your baby measures over 8.5 pounds, we start to get really nervous and talk about maybe you should just have a C-section because we don't know if you can push this baby out. And, you know, all the evidence sort of leans to the only way you'll ever find out is if you try.
Right.
And here you have this 11, you're not very big yourself. You had 11-pound baby, no drugs, and also no tearing.
No tearing. I did not tear.
Yeah. So, and you had a breech baby, no drugs and no tearing.
No tearing.
And so it's kind of amazing to take a step back sometimes and really think through your options. The other thing, about your birth is you kind of, what were you wearing?
Lingerie.
Were you wearing lingerie?
No.
Oh, no.
No, but I was. I was wearing.
Because people do.
Actually, Sarah advised, she's like, wear something you really like so that if you take pictures. Wasn't it, what did you
no,
say?
No, not like? About pictures. Like, it's about you feeling good. Like, feeling.
That makes more sense than
sexy
pictures.
Or good or, you know, like, I wanted to wear something that made me feel sexy because I also wanted to, I don't know, just feel, I didn't want to feel like frumpy and gross, you know, like covered in fluid and whatever. I just wanted to feel like a sexy woman. So I wore this lacy bra. Mm-hmm. I did, and a
That's
skirt.
That's great.
And so that, I did not put on a hospital gown. I wore a lacy bra and the flowers on it.
I'm like, I didn't know you could do that.
You could do it. It's
you
no
could.
Problem. Yeah.
I'm
going
to have
whatever.
A conversation with my wife.
Yeah.
But I thought you had to be in a gown.
They asked me if I wanted something, and I said no.
And that's
my wife brought her own gown. She bought a gown.
Oh, like a Pretty Pushers kind of thing?
I don't know what that is.
They have, like, literally.
It was just like a decorative.
Yes, prettypushers.com.
She had the same concerns you probably did, but didn't know you could go that far.
Yeah.
No, I mean, the reason I brought it up, I don't remember exactly what you were, but the reason I brought it up was because it's kind of like you did get to that zone where you're like, in a happy place, and mm-hmm. there was intensity going on, but it didn't look intolerable. It didn't look like you were having a bad time. It looked like you were having a good time.
I mean, at some points it almost felt good.
Yeah.
Like, some of it felt so amazing. Like, when I would get to the top of the, you know, I always pictured it as like waves, like in the ocean, and so I call them waves too. And so, like, when I would get to the top of it, it would just be like, whoa, and then coming down was like the release, you know, that it was just like, I knew that I could ride it because it was such a short period of time, and then I would have a minute to recoup and then go again, you know?
Yeah. We are going to take a quick commercial break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. I understand the mental demands of motherhood. I see it every day in my practice. That's why I'm excited about Needed's new cognitive support. Unlike other supplements, it's specifically formulated with postpartum and breastfeeding moms in mind, using safe and effective ingredients. This means that moms can get the brain boost they deserve without compromising safety. Plus, it includes clinically studied ingredients, proven to support focus and memory. Hurry and get your cognitive support from Needed before you forget. Visit thisisneeded.com and use your code Berlin to get 20% off your initial order. This episode is sponsored by an innovative product that's made a big difference for parents and babies alike, Dr. Mom Butt Balm. As a parent of four, I've had my fair share of battles with diaper rash, often resorting to thick, unpleasant pastes. I only recently discovered Dr. Mom Butt Balm, and I was immediately impressed by its pleasant consistency and ease of application. This pediatric-approved skin protectant is free from dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, making it perfect for your baby's sensitive skin. It's designed by a doctor who's also a mom, ensuring your little one gets the gentlest care. A small dab is all it takes to soothe and protect, avoiding the mess and hassle of traditional treatments. With ingredients like dimethicone and petrolatum, Dr. Mom Butt Balm not only soothes, but also restores your baby's delicate skin. Available on Amazon.com and Walmart.com, it's the smart choice for every parent wanting to keep diaper rash at bay. Remember, with Dr. Mom Butt Balm, nothing comes between you and your baby, not even diaper rash. I just feel like when you're planning your birth, it's really important to be surrounded by practitioners who are open-minded, who are on the same page as you. I mean, you both had medical doctors at a hospital who were very laid back and supportive of giving birth to a larger than average baby, giving birth to a breech baby. And the second thing is to kind of have a setting. It's such a fear-based setting. All of childbirth is fear-based. Anything outside the textbook is even more fear-based. And you have to create the setting you want. If you don't feel comfortable with your practitioner, you'll never be able to relax to the point where it feels okay. And if you go into all those stimuli around you, your body reacts to them. You're an animal. So If you go into the hospital and put on the gown, your body immediately feels like, I'm sick. You get an IV, it's like, we don't even think you're going to live, but at least we have this emergency shunt to save you, just in case. There are bright lights, it smells like germicide, there are random people coming and going.
May not
have a huge effect on you, but it's not that anatomically and physiologically different to conceive than to give birth.
Right.
It's the same anatomy and same physiology. If you had to conceive under those conditions, it would not even be close to the same experience as whatever your conception place of choice is.
I understand what you're saying. I mean, my experience with that was not a negative one at all. They said, you know, I remember you suggesting me putting something on that I liked, and so I put the hospital gown on, but I had some sort of bra. But at the same time, I also knew that, well, for one, I got really hot at some point from just laboring. So I remember half of the gown kind of came off, but not completely. Dave, correct me if I'm wrong, because I don't remember entirely. And I think that at some point the bra came off because I remembered that I really wanted to have the skin to skin the moment she came out. And if I had the bra on, that would be a barrier.
Yeah.
So I think at some point the bra came off, but I don't remember at what point. But I was just hot and sweaty, and I had, you know, Dave in one hand and my doula in another, and I would
say, just listening to you guys kind of owned your births.
Yes.
And in the military, they shave your head and give you the same clothes for boot camp, and they take away some of your personality to make you like everyone else. And it sounds like when you go into a hospital and you go through the rigmarole, they strip your identity and they get you into this conveyor belt that lets you go. And if you wear something different, you can kind of get your ownership back. It's
mm-hmm.
So like when I went in the military, I shaved my head, so I had my own ownership of that. It sounds like that's kind of
you own your own birth.
Yeah.
Man, you don't talk a lot, but when
stuff
comes out, it's like a bumper sticker.
That's worth waiting almost
really
2 hours for that nugget of wisdom. But it's really so perfect. I mean, you have to own your birth. Not some people want one thing, some people want another thing, but you can set it up any way you want it to be, but you've got to put some planning into it.
And you have to find a physician who, you know, is somebody who, when I knew that I had shoulder dystocia with my son, or some sticky shoulders, or whatever you want to call it, like his shoulders kind of got stuck, I was talking to my doctor, and I was like, what do you do if my baby's shoulders get stuck? Like, tell me your whole thing. What do you do? What's the first thing that you do? And so he was like, well, I would massage the cervix, and I would do, and that made me feel so good, because that's what my midwife did. She massaged my cervix, and I was like, while I'm having contractions, you're going to massage my cervix, and you're going to stick with it, and you're going to let me, like, go through, what if my cervix swells? You know, I was just, like, doing this whole thing with him, and I was like, are you going to take, you know, your hands in there and go, you know, and try to, like, negotiate the shoulders? Like, what's going to happen? And so he went through it all with me and made me feel, like, much better about it.
Yeah,
so
more comfortable. He also used, I think, a gallon and a half of coconut oil.
Eric used that.
I don't know, whoever was squirting it. I mean, it just, I thought I was going to drown.
But there's, in terms of the, you know, we've mentioned, obviously, the trust in your doctor, but another large proportion of it for me for getting through this successfully was prep. And prep also doesn't just mean make a plan and stick with it or read the books or get yourself in the mindset. It also means expect the unexpected. Mm. Prep yourself for the unexpected, because it's most likely going to happen, but that's okay. You know, when Dave and I were planning our wedding, which is very different than having a baby, but a wedding planner who is a friend and who was at the wedding, not planning our wedding, she goes, just so you know, something's probably not going to go according to planned. And just so you know, it's okay.
Mm.
And that put me in a mindset that was like, it's okay. Unpredictable things are okay. You'll handle them you'll cross that bridge as it comes.
Yeah.
And the same thing happens with birth. Prep yourself for the unexpected. Prep yourself for what you would like to do. You know, read. Don't listen to negativity, negative stories. And make sure you're with a doctor who you can absolutely trust and make the right decisions with you when the time comes.
Yeah, 100%.
So.
And for, I think, anybody who's getting married, it's great to start just before the wedding to just have some wine and grilled cheese and set the tone, get all relaxed and everything.
Before you get married?
Yeah, before the wedding.
It's pretty similar.
Pretty similar.
All right. Brian,
Elliot?
You're about to have another kid. Did you pick up any pearls of wisdom here?
Oh, so much. I'm going to go home and hug my wife.
That's a good thing. That was a good thing to do.
I'm going
to
do.
Produce that oxytocin, man.
I know.
Yeah, and you know, you could be helpful by trying to annoy her a lot while she's in labor.
Make her laugh.
It's a given.
Kiss her.
Yes, I know. I know.
Love on her.
It is interesting, though, when we're in the room, when you guys are doing all that work, it drives me a little crazy not being able to do, at least in my head, more to help. And that's the thing. That was my experience in there. I'm like, oh, man, I'm holding her hand. I'm giving her words of encouragement and everything, but she's sitting here, you know, in this amount of, you know, I don't want to say pain, but she was in pain. And I'm like, and you said it before, it just sucks to see you guys, you know, in any type of pain at all, in any circumstance. By the end of the birth of my daughter, we were both just smiling like crazy. Like when it was done, it wasn't even like a wind down period for Megan. She was just like, oh my God, let me see her. Is she pretty? Just tell me she's pretty. Like, that's the first thing. Because she couldn't, because actually she had the umbilical cord wrapped around her head for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So that the whole like Oompa Loompas of pediatric helpers come running in like crazy. And there was also is it meconium?
Yeah.
So that was happening. So, but even then, when they all came in and made sure she was okay, it felt like it was an hour, but it was probably about a minute and a half where they're just making sure she's okay.
You have a pretty awesome doctor, too.
Rothbart's, I love him. He's a great guy.
That was my original doctor.
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah?
Who I absolutely
just before the breach.
Adored. Before the,
not
the,
with
yes,
your first baby.
Not with River, yes. He was my first doctor for Sierra, and yeah. I absolutely adored him.
He's great.
And you know what you mentioned?
And in any other situation, I would have absolutely stuck with him.
Yeah, he's our doctor, too. He's amazing.
Well, key is, he's such a good guy, and he's also so, the calmness that these doctors impart on you guys and us, too, when you're in there is just vital. And, you know, I'm pretty sure I was talking about Star Wars about 10 seconds before my daughter was born. So, anyway, but yeah, it's just, you guys are incredible that you're able to do it.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you know, to see us in pain and feel helpless and all that stuff, one thing, and I know Dave and I actually talked about this before the birth, was that what I needed to know more than anything else is that Dave genuinely trusted me and believed in me that I could get through this. Like, trust that I'm able to do this and believe that I can do this. And once I got that look, it wasn't even words. It was the look in his eyes that he believed I could do this. I believed I could do it myself. And that is so much of it. You know, and I know Eric was definitely an unbelievably supportive. Like, he's so proud of you.
Are you going to have Cleary with you?
We weren't planning on having Cleary at the hospital, but after hearing your story with Wyatt, I was like, wow, that's kind of amazing.
It's a new thing.
It was pretty incredible.
But we're going to have a bunch of family, and, you know, especially Megan's family is going to be here. So, the plan was to bring Cleary, roughly around the time the baby's born, and then
she you guys come labor at our house because you live far away.
Yeah, we'll swing by.
You can swing by.
Yeah,
a great tub. And we already had a baby in there, so it's
unbelievable.
Two doulas there.
Yeah, you got two doulas.
I know, right?
So if one of us gets tired.
Yeah, and you got cable, I'm in.
We have grilled cheese.
Yeah, grilled cheese, yeah.
Cheap wine, but it'll do. Thank you very much all for sharing. Brian Herzlinger, so far I've only had the pleasure of seeing one of your movies. It was My Date with Drew.
Well, thanks for watching it.
I rarely laugh out loud. I can't even follow movies because of my face blindness, but I followed your movie because your cheeks are rosy red, and I'm like, that's Brian. and your voice is kind of distinct, but it was entertaining. I laughed out loud.
Thank you
that
very
movie.
Much.
I won't tell you how it ends, but essentially he's got 30 days to get a date with Drew Barrymore, which is why when you were talking about that kid from E.T. before, wasn't that Drew Barrymore also?
Yes, she was as a baby.
That's right.
Not baby, but very young.
Young girl. So it always comes back to Drew Barrymore.
It does.
Everything does.
But I'm going to check out Love Always Santa because Jews like us love those Christmas movies.
I love doing Christmas movies. It's so much fun.
Yeah.
November 6th. Enjoy it.
I'm looking forward to it. Business owner Dave Olson, thanks for joining us today and sharing. Honestly, I think the nugget of perspective that you brought in at the end is really powerful.
It's more than a nugget. Give him a little more.
I'm going to borrow that.
Yeah.
No, so good things come in small packages.
Golden nugget.
It was
a
golden
nugget of perspective.
Dude, you're welcome.
So
you're welcome
thank you very much. And your wife, Daniela. Ruah, for joining us again and sharing your story, round two. And Sarah Wright Olson, SarahFayWrightOlson.com.
For yoursandmama.com.
Yourzenmama.com.
For more birth stories and pre-pregnancy.
You guys share so much on there.
Postpartum.
It's an online village.
It's an online village.
Of moms. It's awesome. It's
cool. It's
a great
inspiring. And it feels like such a safe, warm environment. Thanks for making it.
Thank you.
So for links and pictures and juicy bonus materials from this podcast, visit informpregnancy.com and feel free to send your questions and comments to info@informpregnancy.com.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a whole lot of questions for you. This kid's gonna test my
This episode is sponsored by an innovative product that's made a big difference for parents and babies alike, Dr. Mom Butt Balm. As a parent of four, I've had my fair share of battles with diaper rash, often resorting to thick, unpleasant pastes. I only recently discovered Dr. Mom Butt Balm, and I was immediately impressed by its pleasant consistency and ease of application. This pediatric-approved skin protectant is free from dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, making it perfect for your baby's sensitive skin. It's designed by a doctor who's also a mom, ensuring your little one gets the gentlest care. A small dab is all it takes to soothe and protect, avoiding the mess and hassle of traditional treatments. With ingredients like dimethicone and petrolatum, Dr. Mom Butt Balm not only soothes, but also restores your baby's delicate skin. Available on Amazon.com and Walmart.com, it's the smart choice for every parent wanting to keep diaper rash at bay. Remember, with Dr. Mom Butt Balm, nothing comes between you and your baby, not even diaper rash.